in nature and in ourselves a hunger for sun and silence and solitude. The murmur of waters, the wind in the trees, these are real tranquilizers. They bring natural and lasting highs of rejoicing awareness. When the problems and pressures of the world tend to get you uptight, you won't need to pop pills. Keep your cool by journeying back to basic simplicities. Seek out the greenery of a forest. Go among the tall trees, our brothers the trees. I love them, plant them, and even talk to them. Trees purify the atmosphere, and in saving them, we are helping to save ourselves and our children's children. To empathize with nature is to hear her hidden melodies.
Come fill up your glasses, set yourself down. I'll tell you a story of somebody's town. It isn't too near and it's not far away. It's not a place where I'd want to stay. The people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. The winter came in with a cold icy blast. It killed off the flowers and killed off the grass. The rabbits were starving because of the freeze. They started eating the bark on the trees. Now the people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. The farmers said, this sort of thing won't do. Our trees will be dead when the rabbits get through. We'll have to poison the rabbits, it's clear, or we'll have no crops to harvest next year. Now the people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. So they bought the poison, spread it around, and soon dead rabbits began to be found. Dogs ate the rabbits, the farmers just said, we'll poison those rabbits till the last dog is dead. Now the people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. Now up in the sky there were meat-eating fowls. The dead rabbits poisoned the hawks and the owls. Thousands of field mice the hawks used to chase were multiplying all over the place. Now the people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. The fields and the meadows were barren and brown. The mice got hungry and moved into town. The city folks took the farmers' advice and all of them started to poison the mice. And now the people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. There were dead mice in all the apartments and flats. The cats ate the mice and the mice killed the cats. The smell was awful and I'm glad to say I wasn't the man hired to haul them away. The people are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. All through the country and all through the town, there wasn't a dog or a cat to be found. The fleas asked each other, now where can we stay? They've been on the people from then till this day. People are scratching all over the street because the rabbits had nothing to eat. All you small creatures that live in this land, stay clear of the man with the poisonous hand. A few bales of hay might keep you alive, but he'll pay more to kill you than to let you survive. The people are scratching all over the street, 'cause the rabbits had nothing to eat.
One eye. eye is brown, the other is brown. I am a fish, I swim around. You say I'm lost, I disagree. The map has changed, and with it me.
Gliding through the seaweed, what strange things I see below. Cars are waiting, windshields wiping, nowhere left to go.
Don't go near the water. song. Let's all help the water right away. Do what we can in order. Let's start today.
It, you're a dope. If you ask me if I pollute, I'm bound to tell you nope. Me and Mary do our wash and Arm and Hammer soap. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're a dope. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're a fool. I saw some pollution in my neighbor's swimming pool. I would have stopped the cleaning, but I had to go to school. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're a fool. Pollution is a bad thing, as everybody knows. In my opinion, anyone who likes it really blows. I'd like to tie them up and whip them with my garden hose. Pollution is a bad thing, as everybody knows. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're a schmuck. Once I dropped a beer can and I did not pick it up. The next day my grandmother was run over by a truck. I learned my lesson well. These days I pick my beer cans up. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're dope. If you ask me if I pollute, I'm bound to tell you nope. Me and Mary do our wash in Arm & Hammer soap. Pollution is a bad thing. If you like it, you're dope. Thank you.
There was a time when an American who was about to go overseas would be warned not to drink the water. But now we have such a tremendous water pollution problem in our fjords and an air pollution problem also that if any of you are thinking of coming to the United States, I would suggest that you heed the warning in the following song.
If you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware. Don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, we got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud. See the halibuts and the sturgeons being wiped out by detergents. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly, but they don't last long if they try. Pollution, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. Just go out for a breath of air and you'll be ready for Medicare. The city streets are really quite a thrill. If the hoods don't get you, the monoxide will. Pollution, pollution, wear a gas mask and a veil. Then you can breathe long as you don't inhale. Lots of things there that you can drink, but stay away from the kitchen sink. Throw out your breakfast garbage, and I've got a hunch that the folks downstream will drink it for lunch. So go to the city, see the crazy people there, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air.
Pollution. 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 the street and use your can.
Sea married a southern breeze from the lovely Caribbean, and when their child was born, he was big and loud and mean, so they decided to call him Hurricane. He had a great big eye in the center of his head, and when he looked at you, he would fill your heart with dread, for he would blow everything that lay ahead. He was a devil, that ugly Hurricane. In time he grew, till he darkened all the sky, and then it was he knew, finally the time to try, to blow the whole wide world over as it floated by. He was a mean one, that evil Hurricane. And so he puffed and blew, and he threw his wind about, while his great eye glared through the thunder of his shouts. But all he did was blow, till he blew completely out. He blew his topper, that wicked Hurricane. One day a big north wind from the lonely Arctic scene married a southern breeze from the lovely Caribbean, and when their child was born, he was big and loud and mean, and they decided to call him Hurricane. He had a great big eye in the center of his head, and when he looked at you, he would fill your heart with dread, for he would blow everything that lay ahead. He was a devil, that ugly Hurricane. In time he grew, till he darkened all the sky, and then it was he knew, finally the time to try, to blow the whole wide world over as it floated by. He was a mean one, that evil Hurricane. And so he puffed and blew, and he threw his wind about, while his great eye glared through the thunder of his shouts. But all he did was blow, till he blew completely out. He blew his topper, that wicked Hurricane. He blew his topper, that wicked Hurricane.
I'm gonna tell you a little secret that Burt Benton don't seem to know. It's about that hungry Bo Weevil and the things he can't do no more. Now DDT is an insect spray, and it's mostly used around the farm. DDT means drop dead twice, and the Bo Weevils won't hang around the barn. They'll leave you alone. Take the family back home. The boy weaver said to the farmer, "This farmer, I think I'll split the seam. I done heard about that magic stuff you got that's wiping all these cotton fields clean. I'll leave you alone. Yeah, take my family back home." The farmer told the boy weaver, "I'm gonna buy back all my machines, cause when I drop this load on you, I'm gonna start making gasoline. I'll be a happy man. Yeah, don't you understand? The boll weevil said to the farmer, I guess I'm reaping what I sowed. The farmer said to the boll weevil, no, you eating up what I sowed. The boll weevil saw that same old lightning bug sitting up high in a tree. Lightning bug said, hey, boll weevil, you still gonna make that trade with me? The boll weevil said to the farmer, so now he sure don't wish me well, cause I sure would look mighty crazy trying to hide in your field with a spotlight on my tail. I'll leave you alone. Yeah, take my family back home. I'm in misery. And you got DDT. I'm in misery. You got DDT.
There's a wonderful tree in the forest, 640 feet tall, with a nest of robins in her hair, and sap and knot holes everywhere, and all of the things you would like to have if you could only have a tree, a branch and a trunk and some leaves and a dog who uses the tree for a lavatory,
who uses the tree for a lavatory.
But alas, for the wonderful tree, for soon it will no longer be. For hark, here come the lumberjacks. See them saw and watch them axe. Chippity-chop, choppity-chip. The top of the tree is beginning to tip.
The top of the tree is beginning to tip.
Watch out, little robins, your nest is slipping. Watch out, little knothole, your sap is dripping. Watch out, little dog, as you scurry around. A giant sequoia is falling down.
A giant sequoia is falling down.
And you need lots of room when you fall, if you're 640 feet tall. There's a pitiful stump in the forest where the wonderful tree used to be, and a most frustrated little dog, deserted by his favorite log. But the tree has gone down to the lumber mill where men transmogrify a tree, and if our little dog doesn't find it soon, very soon, he'll be in the need of psychiatry.
He'll be in the need of psychiatry.
Meanwhile, back to the wonderful tree, which is now at the Scott Factory. Hark, hark, alack and super hark. Machines are stripping off its bark. Strippity strops, stroppity strips. They're chopping the tree into hickory chips.
They're chopping the tree into hickory chips.
Alas, giant tree, they destroyed you, I guess, for they sacrificed you to human progress. Now what are they doing? I cry with a gulp. They're smashing you into a pile of pulp.
They're smashing you into a pile of pulp.
But you'll thank them for chopping you up when you find you're a nice paper cup. The moral here is plain to see, for only God can make a tree. But cups are made by fools like me and the Scott Paper Company. They planted brand new seed, I know, and so a tall new tree will grow. So little dog, if you have to go, just wait 100 years or so. For then in the forest there'll be an almost identical, very botanical, perfect facsimile of the original, marvelous, wonderful tree.
Can you imagine a world without dirt? It seems like dirt is everywhere. Chances are there's dirt somewhere underneath you right now. Many things grow in dirt, like carrots. Carrots are good to eat. But you should never eat dirt. It doesn't taste very good, and you might get dirt on your uvula. Dirt is dirty, so if it gets on you, wash it off right away. Rocks are dirty because they're found in the dirt, and they have dirt on them. Some people like to study rocks. Whatever. But where does dirt come from? Scientists have been trying to answer this question for thousands of years. Most researchers now believe that dirt is actually nothing more than dried up mud. When mud dries up, it becomes dirt. And when dirt gets wet, it becomes mud again. So which came first, dirt or mud? You might as well ask which came first, water or ice cubes. It remains one of the mysteries of the universe.
We are all solid members of the rock family. We're metamorphic, igneous, or sedimentary.
I'm granite.
I'm agate.
I'm sandstone.
I'm soapstone. We're flint, gneiss, and gypsum. I'm quartzite. I'm limestone.
I'm pumice.
And I am mica schist. We're porphyry, obsidian, and marble. We are all different branches of the same family tree, but we're all solid members of the rock family.
Hey, don't forget us. I'm quartz.
I'm slate.
I'm shale.
I'm hornblende.
We're cinnabar, hematite,
talc,
metamorphic,
igneous.
I'm agate.
I'm sandstone.
I'm soapstone with flint, gneiss, and gypsum, and quartzite. I'm limestone.
I'm pumice.
And I am mica schist. We're porphyry, obsidian, and marble. We are all different branches of the same family tree, but we're all solid.
If it weren't for the birds, remember my pet, the balance of nature would be upset. The insects of the world would surely double, and the people of the world would be in trouble. If the balance of nature is ever unbalanced, whatever will happen will not be good. If it weren't for the snakes, mice would multiply. And without the algae, the fish would die. The flowers and the fruit need pollination, and the balance of nature consideration. If the balance of nature is ever unbalanced, whatever will happen will not be good.
If too many trees are chopped down, we have floods and soil erosion and a reduced water supply. If too many plants are destroyed, the animals may not have enough food and oxygen. If too many animals are killed, the minerals and carbon dioxide that animals supply to plants will be diminished.
The balance of nature must not be unbalanced. The balance of nature should be understood.
If the balance of nature is ever unbalanced, whatever will happen will not be good.
All right, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, how are you, and what's new? Well, it's an Earth Day again, so we need to get out there and remind people that we're poisoning ourselves and stuff like that. I don't want to be heavy-handed about it, but, you know, I live up in Maine where things are pretty sparkling clean most of the time. We have our troubles, but I left New Jersey because it stunk, and there are places that stink worse. And I don't want anybody to have to live near them. So I can do nothing. All I can do is play funny songs for you and hope that maybe you'll think about it. All right? So anyway, we started with People Are Scratching. That was Pete Seeger. Pretty much ecology in a nutshell, I think. Pete Seeger will have his 100th birthday on May 3rd of this year. Just in case you're wondering what to get him. How about cleaning up a piece of the planet? The other side was Tiny Tim from his first album in 1968. Called God Bless Tiny Tim, oddly enough. And then that was the other side. Did I mention it? Okay. Let's see. Beach Boys, Don't Go Near the Water. It's probably owned by Nestle anyway. You don't need it that much. You can get some out of the nice clean river that you're going to clean up, remember? The Beds Are Burning was Nova Space. That was a hit in Europe in 2004. Nowhere else ever. As far as I know, that was it for them. Pollution Is a Bad Thing from Andy Breckman. Two songs just called Pollution. One from Tom Lehrer. We have one from Bo Diddley. I assume you can tell which one is which. The Evil Hurricane was Nervous Norvis. Some more of the other stuff of his that's coming oozing out of the cracks. So glad about that. DDT and the Boll Weevil was Lynn Erlington on the Southern Sound label from 1961, answering Brooke Benton. And I bet you'll hear that again soon because I'm preparing an answer song soon, answer song show soon. All right, you try saying it fast. A Wonderful Tree in the Forest was a thing from Alan Sherman, a special thing he did for Scott Paper. Scott Paper asks, you deliver. Simple as that. Our friend Dirt. Weird Al, maybe? I don't know. That's what it says here. I don't hear it, but okay. And then two from Marae and Miranda, our lovable pair of songbirds from South Africa, singing about science. We heard Song of the Rocks and The Balance of Nature. Coming up, some more, okay? They taught me that in radio school. I'm supposed to use it once a year. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I got some more coming for you. Please stay tuned and keep it clean.
Oh, hello there. I'm Newton Ames, talking to you on behalf of the Monolithic Oil Corporation about today's energy situation. You know, if we all just sacrifice a little, we can pull together to beat the current problems of not enough energy. And Monolithic is doing its part by killing most of the birds that nest around our beautiful oil refineries. Birds eat up a lot of food. And as everyone knows, food takes energy to grow and prepare. So the fewer birds there are, the less energy will be wasted. Now, how can you help? Well, if there are any old folks around the house, just set them outside at night. This looks like a long, hard winter, and the fewer people there are, the less energy demand there'll be. Leaving the old folks outside is nothing new. The Eskimos do it all the time. And they know a thing or two about surviving in cold weather without much heat. You betcha. When you drive, don't take your foot off the gas for stop signs, red lights, little children, or anything. A smooth, steady driving technique is the most economical. The cost in human lives, suffering, and property damage will be more than offset by the savings in gasoline. Now, I hope these tips have helped you become more aware that the blame for today's energy situation is on your shoulders and your conscience and not ours. Monolithic Oil Corporation, we want you to pay.
I'm not a climate scientist.
I'm not a climate scientist.
I'm not a climate scientist either.
Yo! We're climate scientists, and there's no denying this. Climate change is real. Who's a climate scientist? I'm a climate scientist. Not a Clio finalist, no, a climate scientist. Dropping facts all over this blast. While fitness be crying about a carbon tax. Climate change is caused by people. Earth, unlike alien, has no sequel. We gotta move fast or we'll be forsaken.
Cause we were too busy sucking things in Copenhagen.
Hey! It's hot in here! 32% more carbon in the atmosphere! Oe, oe, oe! Ice, ice, ice! Raising sea levels twice by twice!
We're scientists! What we speak is true! Unlike Andrew Bolt, our work is peer-reviewed! Hey! Who's a climate scientist? I'm a climate scientist! An Anglican revivalist? No, a climate scientist!
Feedback, like climate change gone crack! Permafrost subtracts.
Feedback.
Methane release is whack.
Feedback.
Write a letter, then burn it.
Deny, let's deny this in your dreams. Cause climate change means greater extremes. Heat won't be the norm. Heat waves bigger, badder storms.
The greenhouse effect is just a theory, sucker.
Yes, so is gravity. Float away, mother floater. Climate scientist, I'm a climate scientist, a penny farthing cyclist, no, a climate scientist, a Fox News journalist,
no,
a paleontologist,
no,
a clean coal lobbyist,
no,
a cashed up alarmist,
no,
a climate study scientist, yo,
preach.
It's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Because 2 times 3 is
6.
And 3 times 6 is
18.
And the 18th letter in the alphabet is
R.
Yeah. We got 3 R's we're gonna talk about today. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Well, if you're going to the market to buy some juice, you gotta bring your own bags and you learn to reduce your waste. We gotta learn to reduce. And if your brother or your sister's got some cool clothes, you could try them on before you buy some more of those. Reuse. We gotta learn to reuse. And if the first 2 R's don't work out, and if you gotta make some trash, well, don't throw it out. Recycle. We gotta learn to recycle. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Because 3, it's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
We have the mountains and the forests and the rivers and the valleys and the natural resources they contain. We have the natural resources, but the theme of my discourse is just how long will those resources all remain? If we study conservation and practice conservation, there's no doubt that it will keep our nation strong. It's my earnest observation that the entire population join the chorus of the conservation song. With scientific crop rotation and the proper irrigation, we can stop our soil from washing down the drain. We can increase reforestation and reduce the conflagrations that are burning up the trees that do remain. If we study conservation and practice conservation, there's no doubt that it will keep our nation strong. It's my earnest observation that the entire population join the chorus of the conservation song. We have to find the right solution for the problem of pollution that is poisoning the water and the air. And it's appropriate to mention that an ounce of flood prevention would be worth a pound of after flood repair. If we study conservation and practice conservation, there's no doubt that it will keep our nation strong. It's my earnest observation that the entire population join the chorus of the conservation song. And practice conservation, there's no doubt that it will keep our nation strong. It's my earnest observation that the entire population join the chorus of the conservation song.
Frogs lay hundreds of millions of eggs every year. What would happen if they all hatched? American International Pictures presents Frogs, the story of the day nature strikes back. What strange sequence of events unleashed such a slithering, slimy tidal wave of fear? Why did these particular people on that particular island face this particular kind of terror? See Frogs, starring Ray Milland, Sam Elliott, Joan Van Ark, Adam Rourke, and Judy Bates. Frogs, an American International picture, in color, rated PG. Frogs, today the pond, tomorrow the world.
Well, I lost my job here fishing and opened up a store. I buy and sell reactors, cooling towers, and lead doors. We've got a brand new industry bearing fruit of finer taste. We sell juice to California and get paid to keep the waste. Our state is a dump site, plutonium-239. Our state is a dump site, just set it over there, that's fine. Our state is a dump site, we'll take whatever you send. Our state is a dump site where the hot times never end. We don't just make the power, we also build the bombs. The dollars never stop from Washington to Washington. The other states all love us cause we rarely take a stand. They send us little presents and put money in our hands. Our state is a dump site, plutonium-239. Our state is a dump site, just set it over there, that's fine. Our state is a dump site. We'll take whatever you send. Our state is a dump site where the hot times never end. Take it, Bob. Fat and wealthy, 'cause my business here has grown. I sell lamps that don't plug in and heaters for your home. Progress and technology, for us they've sure been great. We're singing here in Washington, the ever-glowing state. Our state is a dump site, plutonium-239. Our state is a dump site. Just set it over there, that's fine. Our state is a dump site. We'll take whatever you send. Our state is a dump site where the hot times never end. Our state is a dump site, plutonium-239. Our state is a dump site. Just set it over there, that's fine. Our state is a dump site. Our fate is to mutate. We're singing here in Washington, the ever-glowing state. We're singing here in Washington, the ever-glowing state.
Cradle of King Creosote, monarch of the coal tar distillates, King Creosote, man's silent ally in the age-old struggle to stem the evil tide of wood rot, to preserve our American heritage of fences, utility poles, and dock pilings for future generations yet to come. King Creosote. A railway tank car speeding through the rolling plains of Ohio with its precious cargo of coal tar. Here is where the romance of creosote truly begins. Another tank car, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another. The farmer waves a friendly greeting, for King Creosote is his ally too. Now, look out, Farmer Jones. But no time to stop and clear the carnage now, for King Creosote has a date with destiny. Night settles over Gary, Indiana, Creosote's iron citadel, and the train's long journey is over at last. Here on this specially built siding, longer than the entire railway system of San Marino, the tank cars disgorge their coal tar into the thirsty mouths of giant hoses, drinking through the long Indiana night like some mighty monster of old. A coal tar cocktail whose total volume is enough to supply every living American with a 12-ounce tumbler of coal tar. Drink on, giant hoses, while the watchman stands his vigilant guard. What is he dreaming? We can only guess and wait for dawn and the unfolding of the next chapter in our industrial drama. Dawn, then morning. Old Sol rises over the world's largest creosote refinery and its satellite buildings. Ladies in waiting in the Royal Court of Creosote. The drainage station, the ammonia storage tanks, the sludge pit, the feeder pipes, the bagging shed, and looming from the surrounding man-made wasteland like some magic fortress built by the gods themselves, the Creosote Refinery. But no time to dawdle, for King Creosote is planning a busy day. Here in the purifying station, 4 million gallons of coal tar pour into these giant ladles every minute of every working day. Ladles heated to temperature hotter than the sun itself. The skilled ladle handler must move with care in his fireproof metal suit to avoid being burned to a crisp by the heat from this fiery cauldron. One false step and... But no use in screaming. The human voice is drowned under this Niagara of molten coal tar. Reluctantly, we leave the confusion in the purifying station, for now it's puddling time. The scientific alchemy that breaks down the molten coal tar, trapping impurities in these massive iron barrels. A miracle of precision timing fills each barrel to an exact preset level. One extra teaspoon and the barrel would brim over, leaking poisonous runoff through the entire puddling station. A hypnotic spectacle. Dip and fill, dip and fill, dip and... But the rescue squad is already on its way. And before the rising liquid can engulf our camera crew, we bolt the iron safety door behind us. The pulverizing mill. Here is where the creosote dream begins to find its chemical fulfillment. Where aromatic hydrocarbons are passed through pipes larger in diameter than the funnel of an ocean liner. And then brought here to these giant trays. Heated once again and tortured in this mighty egg beater. Now only an oily brown liquid remains. The embryo of King Creosote has been conceived. Lunchtime. A moment's pause. Now, back to work. But an informal moment as the foreman makes his rounds of the tank room. A monkey wrench on the floor. Time to laugh, even under the eye of King Creosote. But now, time to pick up his paycheck and get out. The final mixing process. Here in two separate vats, each large enough to contain the state of Rhode Island, only an expert can determine which is the runoff and which is the precious creosote extract. Is it the vat on the left or the right? A second opinion is called for. Now a third. Telephone lines. The wires hum with the urgent appeals. Soon, Gary, Indiana will be crowded with experts heading in from all over America. But we cannot wait. And so we look back in awe at the iron cradle of King Creosote, standing tense, waiting, ready at a moment's notice to start up again. But even when stilled, the smoke rolls black and oily from her chimneys. A farewell banner as we bid the monarch of coal tar distillates a fond adieu. Let us linger a moment longer to ponder man's wizardry and the ball of orange fire growing, growing, growing like a planet in creation. But now, the falling chimneys and a fireworks display to shame the 4th of July signal in a fitting climax that it is time to leave. Farewell, King Creosote, and to the fire department, Godspeed.
Playing with the metal drums, ah, banging on the metal. got sick, she was hard-pressed for answers. And on the other side of town, there was a street where all the doctors found every other woman died of cancer. They would play with the metal drums, banging on the metal drums now. Ooh, beat that metal drum a little faster. Like a lightning bolt across a red hot sky, in the blue TV light, Joanna Dannel cried. Seemed like the kiss of death hung in the air. The whole town found out they'd been poisoned for years. The environmental plan put the site on the list of the big top 10 to the tune of 63 million. Thanks to the women and the wives, there's a chain link fence up 8 feet high, but that won't bring back their children. As for Baird and McClare, all the soil from the ground to the bedrock down there was ruined by the bastards. Thanks to the corporate mind, they protected their assets, they're doing fine. Too bad about the Holbrook disaster. Ooh, they were playing with the metal drums. Banging on the metal drums now. Ooh, beat that metal drum a little faster. Ooh, playing with the metal drums. Ah, banging on the metal drums now. Ooh, beat that metal drum a little faster. Beat that metal drum a little faster now. Beat that metal drum. Beat that metal drum, yeah. Beat that metal drum.
don't care what you were. When it all comes down, you got to, oh, you got to go back to Mother Earth.
People like this around you, country's full of them now. People walking around all day long, every minute of the day, worried about everything. Worried about the air, worried about the water, worried about the soil. Worried about insecticides, pesticides, food additives, carcinogens. Worried about radon gas, worried about asbestos. Worried about saving endangered species. Let me tell you about endangered species, all right? Saving endangered species is just one more arrogant attempt by humans to control nature. It's arrogant meddling. It's what got us in trouble in the first place. Doesn't anybody understand that? Interfering with nature. Over 90%, way over 90% of all the species that have ever lived on this planet, ever lived, are gone. We didn't kill them all. They just disappeared. They disappear these days at the rate of 25 a day. And I mean regardless of our behavior. Irrespective of how we act on this planet, 25 species that were here today will be gone tomorrow. Let them go gracefully. Leave nature alone. So self-important. Everybody's going to save something now.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails. Save the trees, save the bees.
Everybody's gonna save something now.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the
Everybody's
whales.
Gonna save something now.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the
Everybody's
whales.
Gonna save something now.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the
Everybody's
whales.
Gonna save something now.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales. Save those snails.
Save the trees, save the bees, save the
Everybody's
whales.
Gonna save something now.
Gotta worry about the little things, bees, trees. Gotta worry about the little things, whales, snails. Gotta worry about the little things, bees, trees. Gotta worry about the little things, whales, snails.
Gotta worry about the little things.
I can dream, can I?
I can dream, I can dream.
I can dream, can I?
I can dream.
Planet is fine. The people are fucked. Difference. Difference. The planet is fine. Compared to the people, the planet is doing great. It's been here 4.5 billion years. Do you ever think about the arithmetic? Planet has been here 4.5 billion years. We've been here, what, 100,000? Maybe 200,000? And we've only been engaged in heavy industry for a little over 200 years. 200 years versus 4.5 billion. And we have the conceit to think that somehow we're a threat? That somehow we're going to put in jeopardy this beautiful little blue-green ball that's just a-floating around the sun? The planet has been through a lot worse than us. Been through earthquakes, volcanoes, plate tectonics, continental drift, solar flares, sunspots, magnetic storms, the magnetic reversal of the poles, hundreds of thousands of years of bombardment by comets and asteroids and meteors, worldwide floods, tidal waves, worldwide fires, erosion, cosmic rays, recurring ice ages, and we think some plastic bags and some aluminum cans are going to make a difference? The planet isn't going anywhere. We are. We're going away. Pack your shit, folks. We're going away. And we won't leave much of a trace either. Thank God for that. Planet will be here and we'll be long gone. Just another failed mutation. Just another closed-end biological mistake. An evolutionary cul-de-sac. The planet will shake us off like a bad case of fleas. A surface nuisance. You want to know how the planet's doing? Ask those people at Pompeii who are frozen into position from volcanic ash. How the planet's doing. Want to know if the planet's all right? Ask those people in Mexico City or Armenia or 100 other places buried under thousands of tons of earthquake rubble if they feel like a threat to the planet this week. How about those people in Kilauea, Hawaii, who build their homes right next to an active volcano and then wonder why they have lava in the living room? The planet will be here for a long, long, long time after we're gone, and it will heal itself, it will cleanse itself, because that's what it does. It's a self-correcting system. The air and the water will recover, the earth will be renewed, and if it's true that plastic is not degradable, well, the planet will simply incorporate plastic into a new paradigm, the earth plus plastic. The earth doesn't share our prejudice towards plastic. Plastic came out of the earth. The earth probably sees plastic as just another one of its children. Could be the only reason the earth allowed us to be spawned from it in the first place. It wanted plastic for itself. Didn't know how to make it. Needed us. Could be the answer to our age-old philosophical question, why are we here?
Plastic. Assholes.
So... The plastic is here. Our job is done. We can be phased out now. And I think that's really started already, don't you? I mean, to be fair, the planet probably sees us as a mild threat, something to be dealt with. And I'm sure the planet will defend itself in the manner of a large organism, like a beehive or an ant colony can muster a defense. I'm sure the planet will think of something. What would you do if you were the planet trying to defend against this pesky, troublesome species? Let's see. What might... Viruses. Viruses might be good. They seem vulnerable to viruses. And viruses are tricky, always mutating and forming new strains whenever a vaccine is developed. Perhaps this first virus could be one that compromises the immune system of these creatures. Perhaps a human immunodeficiency virus, making them vulnerable to all sorts of other diseases and infections that might come along. And maybe it could be spread sexually, making them a little reluctant to engage in the act of reproduction. Well, that's a poetic note. And it's a start. And I can dream, can't I? See, I don't worry about the little things. Bees, trees, whales, snails. I think we're part of a greater wisdom than we will ever understand. A higher order. Call it what you want. Know what I call it? The big electron. The big electron. It doesn't punish. It doesn't judge at all. It just is. And so are we. For a little while. Thanks for being here with me for a little while tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, this is such great music because it imparts the horror of what I'm about to tell you. Well, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just going to read you the playlist. You can go out and look at the horror on your own, okay? We started with an ad from the Monolithic Oil Company, courtesy of the National Lampoon. In case you're wondering who that was Brian Doyle Murray, yes. Climate scientist after that. I'm a climate scientist. And, you know, they talk, the evangelicals talk about, oh, well, you know, God has to send us a sign that climate is changing. He sent you fucking scientists! The three R's was Jack Johnson from probably at least 10, 12 years ago. The conservation song, Our Friends Again, Marae and Miranda. Can't get enough of them. Frogs. I don't think I saw that movie. It probably wasn't any good, but I figure it's, you know, worth a minute if you need a minute to fill up. Sometimes it happens. Our State is a Dump Site was Dana Lyons. The National Lampoon again, Story of King Creosote. There's a strange parallel going on today about that, don't you think? Patty Larkin, Metal Drums and Mother Earth was Mother Earth. Featuring, of course, Tracy Nelson and the band also, well, I don't think he was a part of it, but on this cut, it's Mike Bloomfield and Mark Naftalin was part of that band also. Okay, and then Save the Planet from George. George has a way of putting things as no one else does. And so this time I added a little bit of Melody Sheep to it for your edification and entertainment values. So let's see. I got about a minute left. What can I tell you? Well, let's see. There's a lot of money at stake here. And right now the money is at stake in cleaning things not, okay? You want to make money, you mess things up. You underpay people, you don't care about anything, and these people are just... I can't imagine how we have these animals leading us and in a position of leadership. So I'm looking at you, Mitch McConnell. I'm looking at you, Donald the Thump. All these people, how can they be leading us if we're a nation of law and a nation of honor, a nation of justice? And, you know, freedom. Remember? Not going to be for long, folks. Stop the scourge now, and maybe we can save the planet. If not, like George says, the planet will stay here long after we're gone. So don't forget that. We have to earn it. And right now, we're in the process of being evicted. I'll see you next week, maybe with more cheerfulness. You too. Have a good one.
It must surely, in this day and age, come as something of a shock to the ordinary man in the street to learn that there still exists in this country a sect of people who are still genuinely convinced that the earth is flat. However, and I believe this to be only fair, one should never condemn out of hand the beliefs of others without first investigating those beliefs. And it is for this very reason, despite the fact that more than 400 years have elapsed since Magellan first circumnavigated the globe...
Oh, that word.
Circumnavigation?
No, the other one.
Globe?
Oh, yes, for that word. We never use that. Never. It's forbidden by Article 19 of our charter. I never use that.
Well, here in the studio, we have Mr. Jeremiah Fuller, the present secretary of the International Flat Earth Association. Now, Mr. Fuller, how many members have you at the present?
Well, sir. Excuse me. When we were first formed, sir, in 1922, membership was restricted entirely to the United Kingdom. And there was only three of us, including myself and my good lady wife.
I see.
But today, even as I speak to you now, we are 15 in number, sir. 15 in number. And this figure embraces two members in Dar es Salaam and five in Hong Kong.
Remarkable, quite remarkable. Now, Mr. Fuller, could you tell us very briefly just why you think the earth is flat?
Well, sir, I'm afraid one would need a much longer program than this in order to obviate the necessity of more than a brief resume of all the facets involved.
Mr. Fuller, have you never seen photographs taken from high-altitude rockets which distinctly show the curvature of the Earth?
Well, they're fakes, sir. They are fakes, every one of them. And I'd like to take the opportunity of making it public here and now that there is a worldwide conspiracy of leading statesmen and scientists to discredit our association and all it stands for, as laid down in its charter for their own secret and wicked purposes.
Come
sir.
Now, Mr. Fuller, this is a preposterous idea. You surely can't be serious.
You can see fit to jeer, sir. But the day of retribution will surely come when you and all the other jibing skeptics who mock us will be forced to repent of your heresy or be cast in the everlasting fire with sackcloth and ashes on your loins. And I say unto
Mr.
you...
Mr. Fuller...
I will be heard, sir. I will be heard. We waited years for a chance like this. As their spokesman of the International Flat Earth Association, I say unto you that the hour of the great reckoning is not so far distant as you might suppose, because, sir, by detailed studies of the scriptures, my colleagues and I have ascertained that the world be destroyed by fire on the 17th of every month.
But the 17th was yesterday, Mr. Fuller.
All right, I'm a day out then.
Correct me if I am
wrong. I'm a day out, that's all.
Please.
What's the day?
Mr. Fuller, correct me if I am wrong. You have already incorrectly forecast the end of the world on four separate occasions. According to you, we were supposed to have had doomsday in 1923, 1931, 1937, and as recently as 1950.
What are a few years here and there, sir, when measured against the limitless backcloth of eternity? What are they but as grains of sand?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Fuller, but do you mind very much if we get back to the subject in hand for a moment? Now,
grains of sand.
If, as you contend, the earth is flat, what happens if you keep on walking in a straight line?
You'd try and catch me that one, would you? Try and catch me. But you think you got me there. Do you know, sir, it is an incontrovertible fact that every year thousands of people is reported missing from home and disappear without a trace. And what has happened to them? I tell you, they have simply walked off the edge of the world. Could anything be more obvious
than
that?
Have you any evidence whatsoever to support this fantastic and unbelievable theory?
Evidence, sir? What more evidence do you need? Verily, sir, I say unto you that when the trumpets shall sound out at Zion and Babylon on Judgment Day, all ye heretics who make sport of us shall be thrown into the bottomless pit together with the painted harlots and brides of Satan who now walk abroad in the streets trying to turn the thoughts of honest men to fleshly lust with their posturings and mincing gait. Posturings and mincing gait.
Please, turn aside.
Wow, I say unto all these women in their summer dresses and bathing costumes whose rounded breasts and bodies curve in the evil shape in which unbelievers say the earth is curved. Let them be destroyed, even as Sodom and Gomorrah's.
Turn the control.
Wow, I say unto all things as bound and curved. Woe unto footballs, ping pong balls, tennis balls, billiard balls, cricket balls, cannonballs, marbles, and pawnbroker signs. Woe unto melons, apples, grapefruits, oranges, and lemons. Woe unto balloons, electric light bulbs.
For God's sake, turn the sound off!
Hey y'all, straight talk, okay? There's some flat out things I gotta say. Roundies, hear me out. Stop bending theories. It's time to straighten things out. Edging in my bedroom got me thinking about the edge. Not the guy from you to the fucking earth ledge. Gotta prove you roundies wrong, so I strolled outside. Flat cap, flat battery, let's theorize. I took a really long stick and put it on the ground. That bitch stayed flat cause the earth's not round. The earth is flat and I'll prove it in this song. Just like my Mountain Dew that's been out too long. My credit card,
flat.
My ruler,
flat.
This paper,
flat.
Where I live,
flat.
The tires of my bike,
flat.
The solar of my hair,
flat.
My single pitch,
flat.
This whole world,
flat.
Open your damn eyes, you round earth clown. Take a quick look, man, the sky is up, not down. If the earth is round, we're sitting on the top. Then the stuff at the bottom probably fell off. Dragons fly at the end of the earth. Been soaring through the sky since the flat world's birth. You're not believing us and calling us smucks. I'll show you what's round, take a look at these nuts. My credit card,
flat.
My ruler,
flat.
This paper,
flat.
Where I live,
flat.
The tires of my bike,
flat.
The solar of my hair,
flat.
My single pitch,
flat.
This whole world,
flat.
Luckily the moon's flat, there's no dark side. Nobody went there, and that's a fucking lie. Hey roundies, how's that hot god doing? You're filling kids' head with the shit you're screwing. So take a big bow to the end of the world. And before my little eyes, the truth unfurled. There was dragons and beasts and awful things like that. I still ride home cause the world's so flat, yeah.
My credit card,
flat. My ruler,
flat.
This paper,
flat.
Where I live,
flat.
The tires of my bike,
flat.
The solar of my hair,
flat.
My single pitch,
flat.
This whole world,
flat.
Excuse me, sir, I believe your facts on sound. The circumference of the earth is 40 megameters round. If the world is flat, which projection is factual? Mercator, Goldpeters, or maybe sinusoidal? A globe is always right, the flat must be distorted, which clearly means your theory is thwarted. So, the earth, our home is an awfully spheroid. I'm dropping the truth. Your theory is destroyed. You think the earth's flat just like your sister's chest? Well, that makes sense.
You have I've seen real breasts.
Earth is the only planet not named after a deity. It's a place of science and the home of your virginity. Oh! Thank you.
Does is make things fall down, and the only reason was that the earth is round. Well, suppose I didn't want to go down, maybe I want to go up. Goodness knows that is gonna be tough, cause now I gotta go to the complete other side of the planet, because I can't fall up, can it? I tried to understand it, it stinks all around, cause all it wants to do is make things fall down, and it all falls at the same speed.
That's dumb.
32 feet per second, where the heck is that from? Things with more mass should fall more fast, but no, gravity is just a pain in the ass.
Oh, look at me, I'm gravity, I'm stupid. Oh, look at me, I'm gravity, I'm stupid.
I'm resigned to my fate, so I'll state in plain words. If gravity's so great, explain birds. It's a force that tries to drag everything down. So why does the moon keep going round and round? The sky is falling, sure enough, well it could be. And why ain't that stuff on the shelf where it should be? Right, cause my cat is an asshole, of course, and he's dazzled by gravity's fanciful force. It goes on forever causing drag.
That's dumb.
It'll never stop until your boobs sag.
That's dumb.
Even men.
That's dumb.
So what I've done, here's a clue, kid. Hack the Wikipedia page and stay stupid.
Ooh, look at me, I'm gravity, I'm stupid. Look at me, I'm gravity, I'm stupid.